Oh, thank you. Well, the beautiful music, wasn't it?
Yes.
That's lovely music. Ah, yes, no, that's very good. When I arrived, he wasn't going to play that. And I said to him, I said, I've seen Sunset Boulevard 3 or 4 times. So Steve said, Sunset Boulevard? And he just whipped it out. You know, like some people just whip things out. Just, there it was. And at 1:30, we had a whole group of people listening to Sunset Boulevard, just like you heard it tonight. And it's very inspiring, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's good. Now, come on, you've got to do better than this. It's very inspiring, yes? Now, if you do not know, I'm wearing a Red Wings handkerchief. And just for you to know, there are other things about me that are red. But what I want you to understand this evening is, it's 42 years since Detroit City had the Stanley Cup. Isn't that exciting for everybody here?
Yeah.
And this broom is to let everybody know that we really did sweep the whole thing clean. Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh. What do you think about that, Sean? Here we are. Here's the broom. Come on. Come on. You can move. You just put one leg in front of the other. That's right. There's young Sean. Yeah. I want you to know, strange thing, I mean, in fact, the whole thrust of my life, certainly since I've been in recovery, is to let people know that life really is, it's either going to be a wonderful life or it's going to be a miserable life, very much depending on how you look at it. Some people in recovery know the expression, is it half empty or half?
Full.
Is it half empty or half?
Full.
Now you have a choice. You can be miserable. You don't have to be happy. It's not compulsory. You don't have to get well. It's not compulsory. You don't have to be positive. Or it's not compulsory. It's a choice. And The Angel and the Frog, incidentally, so many of you are enjoying the book, The Angel and the Frog. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because some people have been playing on my telephone, they've been calling me up in Los Angeles. Oh yes, they do this. They say, we really enjoyed your book, The Angel in the Fog. See, because I said that last week. So now they're calling. Now one people talking. How did they get my number? They asked. I got my card, they call the office. And they love it. But you see, The Angel and the Frog, it's about how you can be changed, how you change, transformation. Oh, we know it's a frog. Cedric, Betsy, the pig, chickens, Roger the Fox, we know. But you see, it really is a spiritual truth that you have the opportunity tonight to change the way you view yourself and to change the way you view the world and to change the way life is for you. You have that choice. And those of you who are going to understand it tonight are going to join that group of people who are called winners. And it requires a certain amount of humor. I'll tell you, to get through this life, am I right? You've got to have a sense of humor. Okay, last night, hello, nice to see you. Okay, these are the 1:30 people. They got here late. Bottom line is, just for you to understand, so everybody knows. I went to Brazil's last night. Somebody said, Brazil? No. The coffee bar. It's called Brazil's. Where is it? Royal Oak! That was a strange... I'll tell you, I thought I was in Hollywood. Things are different there, Sean, I tell you. So I'm in Brazil's, in Royal Oak. I'm excited. I'm going to have some hummus. Now, I know. Don't come afterwards telling me I don't know how to say it. I know I don't know how to say it, but you don't know how to say controversy. The bottom line is, I'm going to have some hummus. Hummus, say it quick and nobody will know. Hummus! So I'm in Brazil, I'm excited. And I don't know about you, but when I get excited, I got to go to the toilet. I mean, I'm serious. You're laughing, but I get excited, I go to the toilet. And I didn't get the zip right up. No. Please. I didn't... It was 3/4 up, but it didn't... Not all the way, you know. So I'm at the table, I'm still excited. But I noticed the zip. So I lean forward to talk to the people I'm with, because I talk to people. I talk to some girl called Mary, she's very nice. And I'm talking to a whole group of people, never met them before, but I'm talking to them. Let's see the zip. So I pull it up, discreetly. We don't want everybody in Brazil's. This is not the place to have your zipper down. So I'm zip, it's a zip, I'm up. And then I carry on having my cappuccino and hummus. But I didn't realize I'd got the tablecloth. Are we serious now? I stand up to go and the flowers, the whole thing, everything. And I'm standing there with this. I'm like Julius Caesar on a bad day. The whole thing is a mess. And we're talking, it's a mess. This is only last night. I shouldn't be doing things like this. Reminds me of 20 years ago. Remember when I did the funeral? And I fell in the hole. I'm doing a funeral and I go follow the... Tell you, it's a hell of a drop. You hear all these amens coming from above. But it's all how you view life. See, I've said this 1,000 times, you don't need to watch TV. You just come out with me. When was I here? Was I here last week? Last Wednesday was I here? I went back to Los Angeles. I go back to Los Angeles. I'll leave tomorrow. Come back again. Yeah. Woman said, oh. She didn't know. Ryan, you didn't ask. So anyway, this is the holy point you need to know. God, I'm in my church. I mean, my church. We're talking the Episcopal church. You know, where is the baptism? You following this, Sean? It's the baptism that we're doing. This baby, it's just moving. And I'm trying to get a... Oh! The mother gives it me, it's 6 months old, but it's going. And I looked at that face. And the face, I knew, was trouble. I knew it. It had a pink ribbon. It didn't make any difference. It had a bonnet. It didn't... I'll tell you. The spirit was in that baby. Okay, its legs were moving. Its arms were all over. And halfway, I'm trying to do a proper... church is full. I'm trying to do a proper... some dignity here. Huh? Some a bit of dignity. All of a sudden I hear... It was like a bowel movement. Says, baby's moving. It's like some kind of bop. Then I looked. The baptism font, the plug. This baby had pulled the plug out. And all the water's gone. I've got no holy water for the back. This baby's looking at me. I had to scrape round the side. Some kind of mess. Life. How do you look at life? How do you look at life? See, the whole course of this angel and the frog, you know, it's not about an angel. It's about you. How are you going to soar, or you want to watch others soar? You look around you in your life, you will find so much fun. There's so much if you look. And the things that bring you down, and the pain, and the suffering, you have a choice. Now, you don't have a choice, you tell it what it is, you're a slave. You have a choice. I said to you, said it to you last week, say it again, it's powerful. Don't waste your time thinking about things that thinking can't change. You do not waste your time thinking about things that thinking won't change. Because you'll worry yourself to death. You're a lot of things you can't be responsible for. You're not responsible for somebody else's happiness. Come on. You work yourself to death trying to make them happy. You're not responsible for somebody else's freedom, something they have to embrace. You're responsible for how you go through this life. And you have a choice, and it's a powerful choice. One of the hardest things for many of us to do is to focus on ourselves. This is a wonderful, you've heard me say this many times, it's a wonderful church. One of the reasons why I believe it's a wonderful church is because it tells you exactly what I believe you need to know. Not like a lot of other churches or a lot of other religions that hit you with all kinds of stuff of magic and tricks. There's bookshops there, the bookshops there, it's up to you whether you read. There are people around you here, it's big, it's like, to me, this is like a theatre, it's like a university. You choose who you want to hang around with. First thing is insight. Insight. You'll never get, we're talking about wisdom, but you're never going to get to wisdom until you have insight. And I believe there's nothing about this human being, there's nothing about this human being that isn't activated with spirit. But you've got to bring something to the table. That's what God gave you. Bring it to the table. If you're going to pray, you don't want to pray, don't pray. But if you're going to pray, pray. Say that with me. If you're going to pray,
pray.
Now, we have to do it twice, this is it 1:30 the service, the 1:30 or 1 o'clock? 1 o'clock, I said 1:30, didn't I? It's 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, we have to do it twice. You know the divine love? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to put in twice. You see, God has got some money out. That's all we need. He's going to ask us to do it again. No. By the way, you don't need to worry about this. You never, you know, seriously. You are spiritually tuned. If you're spiritually attuned, this will look after itself. Don't you focus? Sometimes I hear people saying we need to focus on the money. Why? You just focus on abundance. Now, I feel sorry for you. Can you smell these? I mean, they're onions. They look like flowers. Did you know that? But they're onions. Nice looking onions. You don't often see onions, do you, on a platform? I know some people at the back there say, he's had a turn. No, they're onions. They just don't look like, but they're onions. Here's the thing. Some people say to me, talk about wisdom. You know, for them abundance is money. No. Abundance is your gift, is your spirit, is who you are. What you bring? How you just acknowledge somebody? You know, that's worth. You got somebody young like this young Sean or some other that's here. Hello, how are you? Is worth far more than these. But if we're going to pray, that's what I say to the 1 o'clock people. If you're going to pray, then let's pray. Now, I want you to say it again with me. Come on now, I want you to say it again. We know the money's gone, but we're not praying about that. Did I hear you right? Did I hear you say, divine love blesses and multiplies? Did I hear? Now, you can say it like this if you like. This is how you can say, divine love blesses and multiplies. All that I have, all that I give, and all that I will receive. Thank you, God. Now, I'll tell you, if that's the way you pray, I'll tell you, Spirit's not going to hear that. Not unless you're sick. If you're sick, Spirit hears it, because you've got a weak, you've got a bad... That's like imagining Jesus going up to the disciples and saying, follow me. When you leave it, leave your nets and follow me. Come on. Who's going to do that? Well, you leave your wife, leave your husband, leave your job. Just leave your house. Come on, for 3 years. We're only going for 3 years. Come on, follow me. 3 years? I don't want to go 3 minutes with you. See, that's the whole point. You've heard people talk about it. It's called alignment, spiritual alignment. What you see is what you get. What you get is what you see. It should align. If you're excited about something, show it. If you're praying about something, we're not talking about a box of chocolates. We're talking about spirit. We're talking about God here. Once you start to talk about God, and once you start to talk about spirit, and once you start to bring that energy to what you're doing, then you say with me, now come on, we'll say it, okay? Divine love, come on.
Divine love.
Oh. Come on. Thank you, God. Come on. Thank you. That's right. See, now that's a prayer. That's a prayer. That's what you want to hear when somebody says to you, I love you. I love you. Don't you know I love you? I love you more than... I love you. That's what my mother says to me. I love you. Come here. I love you. Come here. Look. Who wants I love you? I'd die for you. I'd die for you. I tell you, I'd die. I'd walk the planet for you. Stop it! You've got some energy. And that's what I'm talking about. It's very important. Whatever you do, there's the insight. The insight comes in you knowing that you, it's the most powerful thing in the world, the more. Do you understand? Understand. Insight is understanding where you come from. You've got to understand where you come from. It's not enough to know that you're here. You've got to know where you come from. See, you've got to understand your family. You've got to understand your culture. You've got to understand the spirit here. We are coming from God. And if you come from God and you believe that, then I'm telling you, not only will you speak, and you'll speak so that people want to listen, but you'll heal. Because you're guided by spirit. And that's what I wanted. When I wrote The Angel and the Frog, that's what I'm wanting to get across. It isn't about a frog. It isn't about a pig. It isn't about an old mule. It isn't about a dog called Toby that's running around, doesn't know where it's running to. It's about you and me. You and me. How you and I, somehow or other, miss the moment. See, once you miss the moment, oh, it's so hard to get it back. You talk about the more is when you are suddenly, you suddenly know. Just like those disciples 2,000 years ago, they knew. When he said, follow me, they were ready to go. And look what happened. They left their nets. They left their home in order to be with spirit. Because without spirit, I'm telling you, the rich. I live in not a poor part of the world. You know, I live in LA. I'm telling you, I've met people who've got pots of money but no spirit, no relationship. No humor, money, Jaguars, BMW, because they've got it. But they're empty, they're like shells, they echo around a house. That's why I love Sunset Boulevard. About an actress who had it all and is rattling around a mansion. And the most precious thing at the beginning of the show is a monkey, a dead monkey. You have it all. But if you haven't got the basis, I don't care whether you're recovering. I know people who've got 10 years of recovery and they still don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spirit. I'm talking about when you have the insight to know. I mentioned Muriel, the hedgehog. It's a very interesting thing. Christine touched Muriel behind the ears. Now you must remember that Muriel is a very controlling hedgehog. She walks in straight lines. And she wants life to go in straight lines. No curves, no turns. Straight. But you see, life isn't straight. Life isn't black and white. Life throws you curves. People who you thought were healthy die. People who you thought would never leave you, never leave you. They'd never leave you. They promise you they'd never leave you. And they leave you. Sometimes when the job and the marriage and the house, it's all working just fine. Absolutely fine. But there's something missing. Something missing. Muriel was a control freak. Muriel tried to hold it all together. She was angry, she was controlling, she was rigid. You fill it in. And Christine touched her ears. Just touched her ears. And the story begins with a touch. Roger. This is Muriel talking to Roger the fox. Roger, you're not alone in learning something about yourself from the angel Christine. I learned something last night. She told me that I was accepted, I was loved. She told me that I was good enough. And I literally fell apart. But it wasn't just the words, you see, that created the eruption of feelings. Christine touched me. She stroked the back of my ears, just like my mother used to do before my mother left me. And my three brothers. I pray to the rain god that I can tell you this without crying. Because my brother, mother, she left me. But she left me after saying that she loved us. Then Hector from the next village came. And he asked her to join him in a new nest that they were building. She said she loved us. She said we were a family. But she left us. She left us for Hector. Insight. Not just the insight of Christine to know what to do, but for you to know. Why are you like you are? You see, a lot of religions don't want to deal with this. That's why they don't have bookshops like you have a bookshop. They don't want to deal with it. They're not going to have some of the speakers that you have, Marianne Williamson and others. But you want to know. Because if you want to understand spirit, you better understand yourself. And if you want to understand yourself, then you better understand spirit. Dr. Jody Coleman and I, together, Chicago, we were in the Bahamas. Some of you know Johnny Coleman. Biggest church. 5,000-6,000 people prowling about. She's up there. She's giving a talk. And she's got a program. She knows where she's going to go. She changes it. In the middle of the service, she changes it. Because Spirit's telling her. Spirit's telling her that they need to do something different. Here we are, we're all in Bahamas. And we know the way the traditional morning service is going to go. But no, because she understands something this morning. There we are in the Bahamas, and she understands that most of her congregation, most of the people who are now in unity, in metaphysical, Americans, most of them, have come from Protestant, Baptist, Pentecostal backgrounds. And just like Christine knew how to touch the ears, so Dr. Johnny Coleman turned around in the middle of this service with 5,000 people. I'm on the stage. I don't know what's going on. She turns around. And she starts to say, "Hey, you know this song, don't you?" she says. "Let's all gather at the river, that wonderful..." And 5,000 people start. "Let's all gather at the river..." And it starts. Hey, there's no music. There's no choir. The choir, they're ready to sing something else. You follow me now? She knew something. Let's connect. You see, when she's being led by Spirit, you know. And I'll tell you what she did. She did, and nobody knew, nobody expected it. She walked into the aisle. And there all, now you've got 5,000 people singing, "Let's all gather at the river." And they're singing. And they're crying and they're feeling, because that's their roots. Don't you know your roots? You can't walk away from your roots. Because it means something. You take a person away, you just drag them up from their roots. You kill them, they die. You never, never do that. She knew that. At this particular, it's called the POT. And then she stood. They knew what to expect. I didn't, but they did. She stood there. And you know what happened? People started to come up. They came up for a healing, for a touch. She never said anything. These are all metaphysical people, but sometimes you need to be touched. Sometimes you need to realize it's not enough to say, "I love you." There's a need for you somehow or other to make this thing called connection. I feel sorry for you if you don't know what I mean. If you don't know what I mean. See, I speak at a Baptist. I speak at a Jewish. Speak at a New Thought. I don't care where I speak. Baptists, Pentecostalists, they need to hear something. You and I know that. They got some of it. They got that Bible stuff. They got it real good, some of them. They know how to do that stuff. But you know there's some things about Spirit and about inclusion and about the more. You see, we've got to go to the mall. You heard Elm. The mall. See, I tell you what the mall is. When you turn around and you say to me, "You know, I'm a white American woman." No, excuse me, you're mall. You're an Afro-American who's embracing the metaphysical new thought of the church of today. No, excuse me, you're mall. You're a gay man that comes to the church of today. Excuse me? You're more. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. And I'm a member of this church. New Jack Boland. Excuse me? You're more. And we meet, you and I, in the more. Do you want to get away from this division? You've got to go for the more. Anybody who will hear me speak to this guy? I speak to him like I speak to you. See, I don't treat him any different. So you've got to do that. If you want to go for the more. Because he could be a very old soul. He may only have so many years in this life, but he may be an older soul than you or me. Because I don't believe this is the first time we've been around. And I don't think it's going to be the last. I think some of us are going to keep coming. Because we ain't learning real quick. It may take a long time. But I know this much. If you want to go for the more, I mean, you really want to understand the more, then you've got to stop seeing yourself just as you think you are and start seeing the big things. Oh, yes, you're a healer. Goodness gracious me, you're a mystic. Some of you have been priests a lot longer than me. That's why you know stuff. And you don't know why you know it, but I'll tell you about fear, because that's what Muriel had, fear. If you have fear that every time, like that little hedgehog, every time that people are going to leave you, you know what happens? You become a people pleaser. You know what happens? You compromise. Fear. The only one way to heal the fear is to know where it comes from, inside, and then you'll have the wisdom. Sometimes people want the wisdom without the insight. Excuse me, get the insight. Then you'll get the wisdom. And the wisdom is, it's unlimited. Absolutely unlimited what you can do. Absolutely unlimited where you can go. But you first of all got to understand it. You know something? It's amazing to me. You can go one way or you can go another way. And I want this church to go another way. No, I'm not talking now about black and white. And I'm not talking now about whether you're gay or whether you're straight. That's not where my head is. What I want to talk to you about is how we can take something that is wonderful, and we can exclude. I'll give you an example. Many churches, my church included, the Episcopal Church, takes a thing that's called the Eucharist, or it's called the Mass. And what it is when the family of God, basing itself on what Jesus the Seeker said, do this in remembrance of me for his disciples in that upper room. You know what happens? We give communion to those people who belong to our club. But you know you can't give communion to people who don't belong to it. In fact, you're told to stay where you are. No, don't come up unless you're confirmed. 5 years ago, I saw people. Everyone else is up. And I saw odd people in my church sitting down. Because you see, they came from some other group. And they were told to stay sat down. And I tell you, that seemed to me so wrong. That seemed to me so wrong. I turned around and I wrote to the bishop of Los Angeles. And I said, I'm going to invite everybody to come up. Everybody come up. I don't care where you are in your journey on life. You don't sit back there. You come on up. And I'll tell you why. Because I think that, you see, God is the big God. And I don't think God's interested in whether you're a Methodist or whether you're white. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor. I don't think he's interested in whether you're old or whether you're young. Because those are relative terms. God is interested in how do you live your life. How do you take these words that we use, and how do you make them come alive? And those of us who understand that, we join this man. Here he is. Thich Nhat Hanh. And I'll tell you what he says. He doesn't mess about with it. Thich Nhat Hanh, if you've not read this book, read it. See? See, I don't just talk about my own books. I talk about my books. Why? Somebody said to me, why do you talk about your books? I said, because I wrote them. But I'll also talk about this man's book because of what it says. He says, one Buddhist teacher said that every time he pronounced the word Buddhism, he had to rinse out his mouth three times. Even the word Buddhism, he said, can cause misunderstanding. People may think of Buddhism as something that they can exist by itself, independent of other religions. Rinsing his mouth out was a kind of medicine to remind him and his students not to cling to the concept of Buddhism as something that can exist all by itself. Nothing, he said, exists by itself. One day, somebody in his congregation stood up and said, teacher, every time I hear you pronounce the word Buddhism, I have to go to the river and wash out my ears three times. The teacher approved that statement. The teacher said, we are careful to avoid getting stuck. Don't be careful you don't get stuck in concepts, even concepts like Buddhism or Christianity or Judaism. If you think of the Buddha as somebody separate from the rest of the world, you'll never recognize a Buddha. Even if you see him on the street. That is why the most famous Zen master said to his students, when you meet the Buddha, kill him. He meant that the student should kill the Buddhist concept of separateness in order for him to experience the real Buddha directly. Don't you understand, ladies and gentlemen, you and I, when we talk about in Christ, a Christ-like consciousness, you know what it is? It's got nothing to do just with being a Christian. It's something much bigger. Here's the more. It's when you suddenly start to realize that this spirit world, whether it's in China, or whether it's in America, or whether it's in Europe, Africa, this spirit world is a world whereby you and I have to step up to the plate. There isn't one person in this room who doesn't pray about racism. But what are we going to do? There isn't one person in this room who doesn't pray about sexism. But what are we going to do? Now, as soon as you ask that question, what are we going to do? Spirit's working. As soon as you allow yourself, just allow yourself to ask that question. I said to a group of recovering people, and you know I'm recovering. I said, what about the stage after recovery? What about the more? After we keep saying that we're recovering from this and this and this and this, and we keep talking about the pain of yesterday, when are we going to embrace the more? They looked. And I said, just by asking that question, just by entertaining that question, spirit's moving. I feel afraid for those churches that don't ask the question. I'm scared when I meet people who don't even think that it's important enough to mention it. Oh, you and I, we're going to have so much fun. Because we're going to take on negativity. And we're going to take on pessimism. You know what I said the other day? Well, I didn't say it to you. I'll say it now. The optimist knows he's going to heaven. The pessimist fears that when he goes to heaven, the optimist is going to be there. Say that again. For those of you who are Presbyterian, it takes a bit longer. For all of you Presbyterians, the optimist is somebody who knows he's going to heaven. The pessimist is somebody who fears that when he goes to heaven, he's going to meet the optimist. Because I'll tell you what the pessimist fears most. And that is people like me. If you're one of those people who think the world is half full, I tell you, you're afraid of people like me. Because I keep demanding more from you. Don't even come near me if you think you're doing enough. If you're somebody who's settled in your life, when I'm at the end of the line there and people are waiting to give us a hug and sign books, run by quick. Just say, hi, Father Leo. Don't even try to come here. I'll tell you. Because I'll mess up your whole night. And probably your whole life. Because I'll keep asking and I'll never stop. Because you see, that same spirit does the same to me. More. That's what'll keep you young. That's what keeps 80-year-olds still singing. The 1 o'clock service. An 80-year-old woman gasping for her breath. Said to me, 1998, next year, are you going to come to my graduation? He says, a woman, 80 plus years. I said, you bet. If I can be there, I'll be there. That's what I'm talking about. This is the church of today. It's not the church of yesterday. And it's certainly not the church of tomorrow. Those are churches that are escaping from the reality now. In The Angel and the Frog, I end with something I love to read to you. It's about the service of gratitude. And I'll tell you about the service of gratitude. It's when you wake up with a grateful heart for the gift of life. You say yes to life every day. Let me hear you say yes to life.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Let's go. Because when you get out of this car, you get in your car, you've got all your mess waiting for you at home. You know that and I know it. You can transform it all if you've got a spirit. The animals are talking to Christine tonight. Christine, We have the service of gratitude to the rain god. You know, let's face it, Christine. Everything seems to happen when you, the angel, are around. Christine said, is that a compliment? If it is, thank you. Muriel says, you make life, how can I say this? You make life more life. You make life more life. Christine said, the word more keeps coming up. You know, I really like it because it's so expansive, she says. But someday you must discover what the more looks like to you. You bring us all together, says Muriel. You, Christine said, wait a minute, stop. Don't you ever miss your part in all of this, Muriel. We all, Timothy, Cedric, Muriel, John, we all help create the more. Remember what I've been saying all along. The more is the process. It's making the spiritual principles of insight, wisdom, and harmony come alive. Transformation can only be achieved if you believe in yourself. Think of me more like a coach. I never want to be a magician. All of us together make miracle. Well, tonight we've had a chance to look at wisdom and insight. Next week we'll make the journey into harmony. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, I look forward to seeing you. Oh, those of you who want me to give you a hug, you get in the line with the people in the books. And I don't mind if you wave a hello. Just make sure at some level you touch me, because I want to touch you. Thank you all very much indeed.